You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Hi, Streams. How are you? So I haven't been up here in a while, and I'm super excited. As you know, we started a series last week. Pastor Lloyd kind of set the stage for us. I don't want to drink the wrong water, so I'm going to hide that. Don't want to share germs. He started us on a series last week, and it's called Stop It. And I know maybe you're going, that doesn't sound very churchy. Stop it. That sounds like something that a mother says to her kids, which is what I thought of when I heard that. Stop it. Right? But there actually are a few things that Jesus used to say specifically to his disciples that were stop it commands. Okay? So he gave lots of, this is how you should do it, this is how you should live, this is what you should do. And then there were a few things that he said, you should stop doing this. Don't do this. And what's funny is all of those don't do it commands, like, seemed outlandish and ridiculous and impossible. And even today, however thousands of years later, 2,000 years later, we still hear these and we go, yeah, that ain't happening. Why would you say that, Jesus? And so for the next few weeks, we're looking at some of those specific commands that are stop it commands. And today, the one that we're looking at specifically is the one that Jesus said the most. So of all the things he said, stop it, don't do it, this is the one that he said the most. Are you ready? Fear not. I see you cringe when I say that, because you're like, what does that even mean? How in the world are we going to walk and not fear? That sounds impossible. That's probably why he said it so much, because he knew it was the one that we struggle with the most. So since we're going to talk about fear, I want to make a confession, all right? I have a phobia, and I'm going to try to say the word, and I've practiced it all week, and it's still really hard to say. My phobia is catsauridophobia. Does anybody know what that is? It's a fear of cockroaches. You don't understand. I am afraid of little cockroaches. Yesterday, I went in the bathroom, and there was one in my shower. And you can ask Alan, he is my knight in shining armor. And when there is a cockroach, if he's not in the room, I yell. Or I send a child to go get him. And I'm like, there's a roach, somebody has to come kill the roach right now. Or I'm going to have to burn the house down. That's how I feel. That's how it feels when I encounter a roach. Now, I feel like it's a valid fear. Because twice in my childhood, I woke up in the nighttime and I had a roach on me. Right? It's totally valid. Jesus has done all this amazing work in my life, but he has not figured out how to conquer my fear of cockroaches. I don't know. So I think my fear of cockroaches is probably equivalent to some of your fear of clowns. Okay, so here's what I've done. I've hired some clowns. And at the end of service, they're going to come and they're going to do prayer with you. And if you're afraid of a clown, I would love for you to come down and let that clown pray with you. Because clowns are people too, guys. I'm just kidding. I see some of you like, I should leave. I should leave. No clowns, no cockroaches. So, all kidding aside, obviously, we all have our little fears and the things that bother us and that we, you know, phobias that we don't really, you know, things we want to avoid. But we're not really talking about those funny little fears today. When Jesus says fear not, what he's talking about is the force of fear. The fear that can literally dictate how you live your life. The fear that speaks to you and controls your thoughts and controls your actions. That's the fear that we're talking about today. And I am a living testimony of what it means to walk in fear. I grew up, as most of you know already, in a very dysfunctional family, and I was abused as a girl growing up, sexually abused, so it was all in hiding, all secret. But fear was not abstract to me. I knew what it felt like when it walked in the room. I knew what it felt like to be helpless to defend myself. So I grew up assuming fear is just part of life. Fear is just part of living. I just assumed I was going to have to learn how to live with it for the rest of my life, because I never knew safety. Never. I feared, as I grew up and moved out of that, you know, environment, and even into my adulthood, I married Alan and we had two girls. There was physical fears that attacked me. I couldn't sleep in the dark because of what I had experienced. I had to have lights on in the house because I was so afraid of what I had experienced in the dark, and it triggered trauma for me. I was afraid in my mind. I constantly created worst case scenarios because that's what fear does. Of how, what if this happens to my kids, and what if this happens to my husband, and what am I going to do if this? And I would create these scenarios that would just grip me, and they would just overwhelm me. And of course, I was really afraid of anybody finding out about the real me, because I was afraid that if anybody knew what was really going on inside of me, they would turn away from me and reject me. So fear was my friend, if you can call it a friend. And I think if we can be honest, I know some of you are like, I'm not afraid, I'm a daredevil, I'll do whatever. But I think it's probably, if we're honest, it's true that all of us have dealt with fear in some way. Once you have children, right, you go, oh, suddenly you have thoughts that you never really thought about. Keeping them safe. What if this happens? Making sure that they're good. We all struggle with fear. So of all the commands and the teachings of Jesus, fear not is the one that I would go, whatever, and I would just ignore it. Because it was just so irrational to me that he would say such a thing. And I'm guessing that maybe some of you have maybe skimmed past that one too, because it just seems like so impossible. So we want to see, well, okay, Jesus said fear not. How does he want us to do that? How does that happen? How does that work? Because Jesus never said don't do this without giving you a solution to how to overcome it. And so for that, we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 8. It's going to be on the screen, but if you want to go there in your Bible, we're going to be in chapter 8. This is a familiar story to a lot of us. It's Jesus in the boat with his disciples. So let's start. We're going to start at verse 23. It says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of a man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? So I love this visual illustration because I think all of us can relate. Even if you're like a good swimmer or you're not afraid of the water, we all have a healthy respect for it once we're out in the middle of the sea and you know I can't swim to shore, right? So there's always this healthy respect, like be careful, be cautious, you know, you're near water, wear a life vest, whatever. So I think we can relate to this story of these disciples in a boat, and it wasn't a cruise ship, okay? So it was like a little boat. And the storm, we need to also remember that these disciples, a lot of them were expert fishermen. They literally spent their days on the water. So if a storm is making them cry like babies, it's really bad, okay? It's like hurricane-ish, probably. So in our minds, we look at this and go, it's reasonable fear. I get it. I would be probably waking Jesus up too. Like, save us. What's wrong with you? We all see the validity of their complaint. Yet Jesus, when he is woke up by them, goes, why are you afraid? And it's almost like you hear a little bit of like annoyance. Like he's like, come on, guys. And that part of the story, I used to just skim past it. I'm like, I don't understand why you would ask that question, Jesus. It seems like you're being unreasonable. Like, of course they're afraid. Why would you ask them, why are you afraid? So I would just kind of skim past that because it didn't make sense to me. But there's something that I think will inform us why Jesus asked this question. And to find that answer, we have to go back in the story, one verse. Back to one verse, verse 18. And this is what it says. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to go to the other side of the lake. In all my years of knowing this story, this part had never stood out to me. It was a seminary professor in an online class I took actually pointed it out, and it like rocked my world. Jesus gave orders for them to cross the sea. He gave orders. He did not say, let's go fishing. He did not say, let's hang out near the shore. He didn't say, let's just go out on the water and see what happens. He said, let's go to the other side. And I read it in all the different gospels where this story is recorded. They all make a point of saying he gave orders. So how does that impact the story? How does that impact the question that Jesus asks? Why are you afraid? It's just a hurricane. Because Jesus wants these men to understand that when he speaks, what he speaks will not be changed. What he speaks will not be moved. What he speaks will not be shaken by some waves in the sea. They don't understand that they have God in the boat. They don't understand who he is. And it says that when he says that to them, why are you afraid? And then he gets up and he tells the peace be still. And they go, whoa, who is this man that the wind and the sea obeys him? And they were overcome by a greater fear because of him than they had of the storm. Who is this man that has this much power? Jesus wants them to get it. Do you know my voice, guys? Do you know what I said we were going to do? That doesn't mean that when the storm comes, you don't go, oh, Jesus, it's bad. That doesn't mean that you don't hold on for dear life. But if you know the voice of Jesus, then you know this storm is not going to take me out. Because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. That is the reason that Jesus wakes up and goes, why are you afraid? Do you really think I'm going to drown in the sea? I'm the Son of God. I did not come to drown in the Sea of Galilee. So we have that story in Matthew 8. So this is probably a little bit fresh. The guys are kind of like, whoa. And then Matthew 10. We fast forward. So in Matthew 10, in this portion of scripture, Jesus is kind of like laying it out for the guys. He's like, I need you to understand what you're signing up for. Jesus never pulled any punches. He didn't pretend. He didn't sugarcoat it, right? It was like, you need to understand. And so that's what this is. This is Jesus giving them a picture of what they're going to face. So let's read it. It's starting in verse 16. It says, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and you will be flogged with whips in the synagogue. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and the other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right what? Words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father. What? Speaking through you. So the first part of this, it sounds like he's giving them a reason to fear. Beware. You're going to suffer. It's going to be hard, right? That's what we hear. But here's the thing about this. Jesus is wanting them to understand, I'm not promising you a pain-free life. I'm not promising that you'll turn into Captain America and nothing can hurt you. That's not the promise I have for you. The promise I have for you is that I will be with you. The promise I have for you is that when it comes to that moment that is so scary for you and you don't want to be flogged or whipped, my Father's voice will be in you, speaking through you. See, once again, how are we going to combat fear? That's what the disciples, that's what he's trying to get them to understand. How are we going to combat fear? We're going to know his voice. So then you skip to verse 28. He gives a little bit more in that chapter about what it's going to be like. And then verse 28, this is what he says. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm thinking that Jesus has given them this little kind of like, here's the deal. And he probably sees the pale face and the like big round eyes and the like terror. Because they have seen friends be flogged and whipped. They know what Rome does. And they're like, wait, are you promising us that this is going to happen? So I'm feeling like, as I'm reading this, he's probably like, guys, listen, I can see it on your face. You're afraid of what these people can do to you. You're afraid of man. You should put your fear in God, because God is the one who has the power to give and take life. God is the one who actually is in control. Get your eyes off of man. Get your eyes off of what can be done to you here on this earth, and look above to my Father. They don't get it. They never get it. So Jesus is like, okay, let's have another visual illustration. Let's go for another boat ride. So Matthew 14, Jesus is this time sends them out on a boat without him. Maybe it's supposed to be a little bit of a test, see how they do. He's not actually in the boat with them this time. And so that's Matthew 14, and we're starting in verse 22. So they've just had the epic miracle where he fed the thousands with the fish and the loaves, okay? So I kind of picture the disciples were like, because they were the ones carrying around these baskets of fish and loaves, and they're like, it just is not disappearing. And so I imagine, because they're human like us, that they're probably like, wow, look what we did. Like, we just kept giving out fish and bread, and it was amazing. Like, we are cool. So Jesus says, all right, let's get in the boat. Like, you think you're all that? Let's go. Get in the boat. So they get in the boat, and he's like, I'm going to pray. Just get in the boat and go to the other side. So this is where we're at. Verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." So he sent him out this time. You know, first story, he's in the boat with them, trying to help them understand that they don't have to fear because he said, "Let's go to the other side." He lays out what it's going to be like for them in Matthew 10. Here's what it's going to be like, but you don't need to fear man. Put your fear where it counts, in God. And now he sent them out on a boat by themselves. He comes to them, and let's be real, it would freak us out. I've never seen anybody walk on water, so it would probably freak me out. And if you're in the sea, and it doesn't say it was a furious storm like the first one, but it was like the wind had picked up, the waves were... So it was a little bit of, you know, they were having to stay focused probably on not overturning the boat. And then you look out and there's a man walking on the water. Probably we would think it was a ghost too. Jesus says, he calls out to them from the water, "Take courage, it is I." Those three words, "it is I." And then he says, "Don't be afraid." And here's how I read that. Take courage because it is I. The way I read that is, I don't have to be afraid because of Jesus. See, what Jesus wanted them to grab in this story was that just because he wasn't in the boat physically with them did not mean that he was not still available to them. Just because he wasn't in the boat did not mean he was not still in control of the situation. It didn't mean he couldn't get to them if he needed to. Some of us in here are overwhelmed with fear because we believe we're beyond his reach. Fear has overwhelmed you, and that voice speaks loud to you because you think that whatever situation it is, be it your mistakes, be it just an overwhelming pain that you're in, grief, whatever it is, you're so overwhelmed by it that you think you're beyond his reach. And Jesus is saying, take courage because of me, because it is I. You see, we see a theme, I think, in these three passages where Jesus is trying to teach them what it means to fear not. We see a theme of his voice speaking. His voice speaking to the disciples. And here's what's cool. Jesus knows, right, that he's not going to physically be there with them when they launch themselves out and start the church. He knows he's going back to heaven. And so he's trying to ingrain it in their spirit. You've got to know my voice. Because when I'm not standing next to you and you can't turn and go, what do, Jesus? You've got to know what I'm saying because I will be speaking. You've got to know my voice. That is what will lead you. That is what will guide you. And that is how you will overcome the fear. Friends, fear is loud and it lies. I know that well. When we take courage, it's when we choose to follow his voice. The disciples do not get it. They never get it. Specifically, I'd like to shine light on Peter, who really didn't get it. Peter is the rock that Jesus built his church on, but when Jesus was arrested and it became evident that he was going to be crucified, Peter went, that is not the man I thought it was. I am running because they're going to kill me too if they figure it out. I followed that man for 3 years and he's about to die. And so he ran. He was a coward. He denied Jesus 3 times and then he ran and hid in the shadows. See, he was filled with fear in that moment of persecution, of pain. And then I think about what must he have felt when Jesus appeared that first time before the disciples after the resurrection. We know when you read scripture that John 21 shows us that Jesus reinstates Peter. They have a conversation where he gives Peter the opportunity to 3 times tell him that he loves him. So it was the 3 denials and then the 3 times he could say, I love you, Lord. But there's a span of time between his first appearance to the disciples and this reinstatement of Peter. So here's what I'm thinking, because Peter's human. I know what I would do. If the Son of God appeared after I had watched him die, I would go, oh, he's the Son of God, and I denied him, and I would slink back to the back of the crowd because I would assume that he was going to reject me as I had rejected him. I would assume that he was going to not forgive me but instead offer judgment. And I think that Peter maybe did that for a little while there in those first encounters after the resurrection. I've messed up too much. And his fear of rejection would have made him hide in the corner. But then we see what happens in John 21 when Jesus reinstates him. He gives him the forgiveness that he needs. And you know what he does? He fills Peter with hope. Wait a minute. You can forgive that? After you're perfect. You're the Son of... You are God in the flesh. And you want me? The fear faded. And we see in the book of Acts, when they receive the Holy Spirit in the upper room, it tells us that that day Peter goes out, cowardly, afraid Peter, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think he probably was like, wait, this voice that I'm hearing inside of me now, I know that voice. I followed that voice for 3 years. Wait a minute. This is what he meant when he said, my Father will speak through you. He's even closer now than he was when he walked with me. He's inside of me. And he went out in the street and he spoke a bold, confident, unafraid message of good news, and 3,000 people were saved. The coward who hid in the shadows because he was afraid became the preacher who started the church. The early church had plenty of reasons to fear, friends, plenty. Death was at their door. So the question is, well, what was it? What was it that, how did they overshadow that fear? What eclipsed it? It was hope. They knew that in a moment's time, they could be with Jesus. They knew that no matter what happened to them on this earth, they could watch and look for Jesus. And so if you're listening to me and you're saying, okay, you said I need to follow his voice. What does his voice sound like? Well, I will tell you, it sounds like hope. Jesus came to me, it's been almost 9 years ago, and I will never forget this moment. I was at our first Streams, my first ladies' retreat, women's retreat, which is next weekend. Okay. And the message, and of course, I'd been here for a few months, so I'd kind of figured out that you people were different in a good way. And I was starting to feel kind of safe, like this is maybe a safe place. And so that environment fostered this kind of like, it stirred in me. That maybe things were not quite right. Maybe there was some stuff I should deal with. And so at the end of the Saturday night service, I went to the back and I laid on the floor and I wept. And I didn't want anybody to see me, so that's why I went to the back. And Jesus came in my heart and spoke to me in that time. And all I can say is it was his grace that he was able to pierce through all of the fear and all of the junk. And he showed me a picture. He showed me myself on a boat, of all things. And I was holding the helm, and I mean, like, I could see myself, like, every muscle tense, every part, and a fierce focus, thinking, this wind and this rain, if I don't do this, if I don't keep control, and I'm going to drown. But he showed me that he stood right beside me. And I'd never noticed that before. And he showed me that he had been standing there the whole time on the boat with me in the rain. And this is what he said. He said, Shannon, I can take over if you want to just rest. Like, I can steer the ship. I've been in the boat with you this whole time. And that was the moment that marked my journey. From that point forward, I made the steps. And some of them were scary, and I had to fight the voice of fear. But what I learned was to lean in and find his voice. And I knew his voice would always sound like hope. I knew his voice would always give me encouragement and speak peace to me. And I learned how to recognize the difference in that monster called fear and the voice of my Savior. See, fear only leads to death. All fear leads to death. What did Jesus overcome? He overcame death. All forms of death, all darkness, it's overcome by Jesus. Without the resurrection, this message is pointless. But we aren't serving a dead God. We serve a God who overcame death. So there is nothing on this planet that can touch my soul and take it out of the grip of my Savior. Which voice are you following, friends? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And of course, this message was hard because it was a message on fear. And so I knew that when I started preparing that there would be the enemy, and he would be speaking fear. And I would be tempted to be afraid. Because getting up here, every time I do it, I have to conquer fear of man. Because that was a big one for me. I was so worried about what people would think. So isn't it ironic that Jesus would call me into a role where I have to constantly defy that fear? That's how he works. And the reason I'm able to take the steps he asks is because I know his voice, and he always gives me hope. He reminds me, it's not you, it's me speaking. You just follow. And so I just follow. And so I wonder today if any of us need to kind of make that stand and make that declaration and say, I want to follow the voice of hope. I don't want to follow the voice of fear. And so here's what I've asked the worship team to do. I made a request. I was like, we can't talk about fear and not seeing no longer slaves. Okay? And it's a song about not being a slave to fear. And here's the thing. Fear makes you a slave. When you are following the voice of fear, you are chained and bound. I am living proof that you can be set free. You can be set free. So I want to ask you to stand. And here's what we're going to do to close out. I would love it if we sang so loud that the worship team, you can't even hear them. Because you are declaring that you will not be a slave to fear. That you will listen and follow the voice of the one who offers hope. Can we do that together?
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.